You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Thursday, November 19th. And as we get ready for the Steelers to play the Jaguars this weekend, the first segment we're going to dedicate to just getting you up to date. Ben Roethlisberger said some things in his press conference. The Steelers released their first injury report. And, you know, just get you ready for what happened yesterday with the Steelers. Nothing major, just gives you some minor updates so you're up to speed. But as you know, it's Crossover Thursday here on the podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, which means we've got our man Anthony Wiggins from the Locked On Jaguars podcast. You guys remember him from the offseason. He was on the show then. We have him back to talk about this game. We're both going to take segments to ask each other questions and break down where each other's teams are and how we see this game playing out. All that and more right on today's show. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. I like to watch this season when I'm going over game footage to see how TJ Watt gets a lot of his sacks. When I do, I like to drink a nice cold Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through your game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Let's get into it. Hey, 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 all you Locked On Steelers fans. Thanks so much for tuning into the show as always. Let's get you through these early updates here before we get into Crossover Thursday with my man Anthony. Now, got to talk about the injury report because mostly it's good news this week. And I say mostly pretty much almost all the way through. Now, of course, several people didn't practice like normally. Ben Roethlisberger didn't practice on Wednesday like he does, normally doesn't. Juju Smith-Schuster didn't practice on Wednesday. Though it's interesting, in recent weeks when he didn't practice on Wednesday, the Steelers listed a knee as the reason, and then he would practice on Thursday and be fine. This week, it's not even injury-related, so I'm guessing Juju feels as fresh as he can. So that's really good news. Other guys who didn't practice for non-injury-related reasons, Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, Alejandro Villanueva, the three elderly members of the offensive line, makes a lot of sense there. Stephon Tuitt, that's also been a thing for him for a while, so the four of them don't practice. Now, the guys who didn't practice because of injury-related reasons were Trey Edmonds, of course, Terrell Edmonds' brother, and special teamer slash running back. He had a hamstring injury. He didn't practice. Also running back and special teamer. Jalen Samuels had a quadriceps injury. He didn't practice. So keep on the lookout for them. Again, not a major thing when you look at the major contract of the team, but when you start missing multiple special teams players, you know, you start to carve into the depth there, and that's when you start to see guys who normally would be starters or see more prominent roles on the team might have to step up in their place. But we'll see how that goes. This is, again, just Wednesday. Might not be that big a deal. Other guys that missed, Jayrone Elliott, the linebacker they brought up a couple weeks back. He, you know, if you remember him from preseason 2 years ago, he was the guy that had an interception. I think it was returned for a touchdown. Might have just came short, but he was the guy that was picked over basically Tuzar Skipper last year. So he had an illness and he stayed away from the team. We'll see if that leads to anything else. Remember, the Steelers are playing on the road, so we'll see if, you know, a guy with an illness travels like Vance McDonald did last week. Now, it didn't put the team in any more risk because all the guys that were put on the COVID-19 list after Vance McDonald tested positive for COVID-19, because remember, he went home with an illness on the Thursday before that the game against the Cowboys, and then he turned out to have tested positive the Monday afterwards, so there was a big kerfuffle about that. Don't worry about it. I think this won't even be a big deal. Jayrone Elliott is not an experienced member with this team. If it's an illness, I don't think he'll be around the team this weekend when they travel. Maybe as a separate. I do know that sometimes Steelers players will travel on their own if they know they're not playing. Other guy, Isaiah Bugs, ankle injury. You know, last week had the same issue. We'll see what's up with him. Good news though, Tyson Lulu not even mentioned on the list, which means he's fully ready to go. Anthony McFarland, who had an illness last week and didn't play, he was listed as a full practice, so good news for him. But the big news and the best news, Mike Hilton, full practice, y'all. He's back. He's ready to go. I think it's a very good sign for the Steelers that he is healthy. Now you're going to see him and Cam Sutton being aggressive out there in the slot cornerback position and the Steelers being able to use them. So very good news there on all fronts. Other things that happened yesterday, the Steelers the whole NFL was informed that that the NFL was going to force all 32 teams into their intensive protocols for COVID-19 moving forward as the country continues to spike all around the country. It's getting worse and worse with COVID-19. They know that this season is very delicate and that the smallest of things can derail a season, so they're not taking any precaution. The Steelers for the past 3 weeks have been in intensive protocols. Now basically everyone's going to have to do that for the rest of the season to finish this out. Makes a lot of sense to me. A lot of parts of the country are getting worse and worse, and you don't want to put your season in jeopardy. You don't want to put your players in jeopardy. You don't want to put, you know, everything at risk here. Just play it safe. Keep doing the extensive quarantine measures and the practices that are keeping your guys safe. And, I mean, the Steelers have done a good job for the most part. They've had one player, and from that one player, nobody else got it. So I think that you could say that they're a model of what should happen when players are contracting COVID-19. And other things that happened, Ben Roethlisberger felt like he was in the joke-making mood because, of course, Mike Tomlin was kind of making jokes with him as we talked about in our Tomlinisms episode. Oh, that reminds me. The winner of the Tomlinism was his joke about Ben when he was asked if Ben wasn't going. Because remember, we posted this as a vote. There were three Tomlinisms. We have very rare we get three Tomlinisms in one day. But we had three good Tomlinisms that we had you vote on in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. And we let you vote throughout the day. The winner, at least at the time of me recording this, is Mike Tomlin joking about Ben Roethlisberger when someone asked, Ben, hey, Ben said that, that he didn't practice all last week and he threw four touchdowns. You know, does that mean you're going to give him off this week? He said, Mike Tomlin simply said, I acknowledge that we had that conversation and it was a brief one and I will see him on practice on Thursday. So that was our winner. The majority of you voted for that there. Thanks to those who did vote. Again, join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. It's a fun group. We're over 830 Steelers fans strong. You can interact with myself and other guests of the show right in that Facebook group. But Ben felt like poking back at Tomlin after that, because also one of the other Tomlinisms was Mike Tomlin saying, hey, we're not a Big Ten team and the Jaguars aren't a MAC team. This isn't like that. And Ben Roethlisberger took exception to that because he played for a MAC team in Miami, Ohio. So he was like, Coach, what are you doing? He says, I'll ask Coach Tomlin what conference William & Mary played for. And, of course, William & Mary, an even smaller school than where Mike Tomlin played football. So really good to see Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin joking around and having a good time. That kind of stuff shows that these guys are loose while staying focused. Very good sign of where the chemistry of this team is. Okay. All that being said, we're going to toss to a quick break here. We come back. It's Crossover Thursday time with Anthony Wiggins of Locked On Jaguars. But first, a word from our great sponsors at Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Sometimes I like to watch this season with a cold Pepsi when Ben Roethlisberger is throwing one of those touchdowns that he's thrown several times this year. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, it's Crossover Thursday time here in the Locked On Podcast Network. Y'all know what time it is. It's time to talk about this upcoming matchup. I'm Chris Carter of Locked On Steelers. He's Anthony Wiggins of Locked On Jaguars. And we're here to break down this matchup like nobody else can. Anthony, how you doing, my man?
What up, man? I mean, I'm doing fine. It's the tale of two teams. You know what I'm saying? Two different directions, two different motivations. And, we got one win and y'all don't have one loss. So, that's what it is right now.
It's wild, man. It's wild. It's pretty crazy to see both of these teams. But I do think that Jaguars fans, and we talked a little bit during this offseason, Jaguars fans were expecting a rough year just with how everything developed in the offseason, and it's, the questions was going to come. But, I mean, it's even been even rougher. Gardner Minshew's been hurt. And, you know, the defense has just has kind of dealt with blow after blow. But the one thing that every Pittsburgh fan is worried about is the guy that's been the star emergence for the Jaguars this year. And that's absolutely James Robinson, undrafted, comes in. I don't know if he still is, but I know at one point he was the second best fantasy running back, and I traded for him.
There you go.
He's been kicking a lot of butt for them. And even with Jake Luton, that was one of the worries, was that with Minshew going out, that maybe his numbers would drop off. And last week we didn't see that. Anthony, what is James Robinson doing so right for this team?
Vision. He does what Fournette seeks out. Fournette used to seek out people to hit.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guy who you could tell from an early age. The comparison I made, it was to Shaq. You're 7 feet tall, 340 pounds. Why are you taking jump shots? Just dunk on folks. Just go dunk on people. So Shaq, you could tell Fournette from an early age, he was taught to bang on people. Bang on people. We're going to give it to you 30 times. And in you're going to hit 3 yards, and then in run 28, they're going to get tired of hitting on you, and you're going to break one. That's what your job is. Your job is to throw 28 body punches, and then on run 29 and 30, they're going to be 50-yard touchdowns. You guys saw that when he ran that 91-yarder in Pittsburgh a few years back, right?
Mm-hmm. So I remember that.
This guy is totally different. He avoids people, and it's instinctive. It's like he's a human joystick is what he is. And okay. He's quiet. He keeps his head down, and he really sees stuff way before it happens. The dudes, they laughed at me last week when I compared him to Walter Payton. And I only did that because the way he's built and how he's very, very quiet and unassuming, he has a Barry Sanders, Walter Payton personality. He doesn't talk very much, and he really, really keeps his head down. And he's very, very hard to tackle, too. It's like tackling a fire hydrant. So that's the similarity. That's what he does, and that's why he's been very, very good.
I mean, you see, he does a lot of things really well for this team. Right now, he has 689 yards on the ground, 228 through the air. I wanted to also ask you about Jake Luton because, you know, everyone was kind of assuming doom and gloom. I mean, not that Gardner Minshew was an All-Pro, but he did have 13 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions on the season. But right. Luton's come in and he hasn't looked horrible yet. I mean, he's got 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, but. You know, he has at least, you know, come in and said, hey, I can still keep this offense competitive. And again, this is an offense without, you know, a premier talent at the wide receiver position. You know, you've got Chenault who's, you know, he's brought, you know, he hasn't really, you know, come up big, but Keelan Cole's had some big plays. DJ Chark's had some big plays. You know, this is an interesting spot for Luton to be in. What has been your evaluation of his play so far and what the Steelers can expect on Sunday?
Well, the only thing I would disagree with you, I think most people think DJ Chark is a premier talent. It's okay. Just that Gardner wasn't getting in the ball. Gardner, Minshew, the difference in those two quarterbacks is Minshew does everything on timing and anticipation.
Mm.
It's because he doesn't have that strong arm. So a lot of the things that he was giving you, they were anticipatory throws and timing. Whereas Luton being 6'6", he's a 7-on-7 type dude. Whereas okay. it's pick and stick, baby. He can wait until that thing comes open, and you're gonna get those 25-yard in routes, out routes. That's why Chark has played better with Luton than he did with Gardner. And because a lot of the things that Chark is very, very good at, Luton has the arm strength to try, like last week in Lambeau, very windy conditions. Luton, even though he was only 18-35, he was able to chop through a lot of that wind and complete some passes down the field, whereas Minshew is not really able to do that. So, yeah, the difference in those two guys is arm strength. Minshew has a little bit more escapability, and he plays better off schedule, whereas even Jaguar legend Mark Brunell said Luton is more advanced from the pocket. So one guy is an off-schedule guy, the other guy is an on-schedule guy. And Doug Marone's going to have a decision to make when Gardner Minshew is healthy. He's throwing now with the thumb injury that he had, but he's not available this week. It'll be interesting to see that once he's healthy, what direction the team goes in.
Now, this isn't necessarily about the matchup right now, but at 1-8, Jaguars fans got to be talking about, you know, it's time for some player, you know, whether it's Trevor Lawrence, whether it's Trey Lance, whether it's Justin Fields. Who is the guy that you guys are that you're hearing around town, people saying, like, man, we can't wait to get this guy?
It's Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields.
Okay.
They want a total reboot. What the fans around here want and what we talked about in the offseason was they were going to be so young that what the fans wanted to see was entertainment, but don't win too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last thing these people want to see is a 5-win team, because that puts you in a position of never, never land. What they want is they want entertainment, but yeah, entertain me, but don't win. They want exactly what they saw last week, and they want what they saw the week before against Houston, where they lost by 2 points. They didn't convert a 2-point conversion at the end of the game. Yeah, it was fun to watch, but that's good enough. Okay, you played well enough now. Go ahead and score Green Bay and end the game. Don't let us mess this up. They were rooting for the Jets on Monday night 2 weeks ago to beat the Patriots. I mean, there were more Jet fans in Jacksonville than there were in New York that night, because that's where this franchise is. They want Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. They want one of those two guys, and they feel that there needs to be a total reboot of this franchise. And that they feel like that's the only way that it's going to happen. They want to do what they want to do with Cincinnati. They want to do what Miami's done. They want a total reboot of everything, even the GM and coach. They want them gone.
That would be interesting to see if they could pull that off. But still, you got to look at this situation. A lot of Steelers fans, every week, people are talking about, when's the loss coming? Last week, people were saying, they're going to lose to the Bengals because Joe Burrow. Yeah, they're going to lose this guy. They're going to lose that guy. But when you look at the Jaguars have historically, even when they're bad and the Steelers are very good, they've given the Steelers problems. I mean, 2 years ago, 2018, the Steelers went to Jacksonville. It took a miracle comeback for them to win that game. And I think it was 2015 or 16 before the Jaguars got good in 2017 and beat the Steelers in the playoffs and beat
right.
twice that year. I think that was the year where the Steelers were just struggling to get, you know, any points in that game. It was a Bryce McCain pick six that got the win for the Steelers in a really tight game. Steelers fans are looking like, is this a trap game? And of course, Mike Tomlin let people know he don't believe in trap games this week. What is the, if there's a big way where you see the Jaguars could pull out on top in this game, where do you see the strength coming from this team?
That's a good question. If TJ Watt, Ben Roethlisberger, if those guys don't get off the bus, that's how.
I don't even think it hurt. They just don't come.
Yeah, yeah. So here's where last week with Green Bay, I didn't think that they would play it close, but I thought if they had a chance, it's because I thought Green Bay was soft. Pittsburgh isn't soft, and the one thing in football, if you're soft, the other team has a chance. And everybody knows Green Bay is kind of they gotta, you know, they don't take body punches real well, because every game that they lose is the same way. So what happened is the Jaguars punked them for 3.5 quarters.
Mm.
You know, one thing is they just hit them in the face, and Green Bay finally figured out how to win the game at the end. But you're not gonna do that to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh doesn't have a soft middle, so you got to figure out another way to do it. So can you do it with skill position players? I don't think you can with the way Pittsburgh's been playing defense this year. And then defensively, Pittsburgh has wide receivers, and we'll talk about this in our next segment. Your wide receivers do something that I love, and I don't even know all of the names. I know Claypool, and I know Schuster, but you got another guy, number 14, and all of them have these numbers and teams. They run up the field about 7-8 yards. They turn around, Ben hits them with the ball, and then they turn. Mm-hmm. And they put their hand in the ground, and they make you miss. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they run for 7-8 yards, and they did that against Tennessee and Baltimore so many times. And I'm like, who are these people? And how do these dudes keep doing that? They're like 5'11", 6 feet tall. They turn, they catch the ball. They're 6 yards short of the first down, and they pivot. They stick their hand in the ground, and they make the dude miss, and they go get the first down. So – I just think skill position-wise, Pittsburgh has too much going on. I think Ben is being protected at a very high level. And the way that they play, they don't have a soft middle. I think it's going to be a rough, rough day for the Jaguars, really. I don't think this is going to be one of those games that Pittsburgh has to win. Now, it might be close at halftime because the Jaguars, they have a way of doing it. These young guys, man, you know how young kids go to amusement park and they'll get on every scary roller coaster there is, but a dude like me or you, we won't. You know why? Because we're too old. We understand fear. They don't fear. They don't have any fear. They're too young to be afraid. They don't know any better.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah, so that's kind of the way they are. But that only lasts for a half, and then it goes away.
I hear you there. I hear you there, man. We got to talk to a quick break. But when we come back, Crossover Thursday will continue. Anthony will put me in the hot seat to ask me all the questions he has about the Steelers right after this.
All right, we're Locked On Jaguars, Locked On Steelers. Christopher Carter, I call him the counselor for reasons that me and my brother know. And we get together and we do this sometimes in the offseason, but mainly whenever the Steelers and the Jaguars get together, which is not very often, we get a chance to bring these fan bases together. So I'm going to grill them a little bit on Pittsburgh. It's not much to grill because you know what? They ain't lost no games, man, and I wonder what that feels like. I expected them to be good when Ben came back, and the reason why, I'll tell you this, Chris, is because to me, last year was Tomlin's best coaching. He was on his third quarterback. They were pulling guys off the street. I think a guy was a cab driver, and they brought him in. He was a quarterback, and they were winning games. So I thought last year he held it together, and I said if they get Ben back, they're going to be good. But I did not expect undefeated at this stage.
Well, to correct you, it was a fourth-string quarterback, and right. He wasn't a cab driver. He was a professional duck caller. That's why they call him Duck. But that's what they went through last year. And there was – it's interesting. Anthony, you and I have talked about this. There is that anti-Tomlin presence that has lived in Pittsburgh for quite some time, even when he first got hired. And last year, it quieted down when the Steelers got to 8-5. But when they finished 8-8, losing their last three games – it came right back, and he said, see, he wasn't really that good. It was just they were getting lucky with their defense. And right now, that 9-0 record has all but silenced that crowd. I mean, it's just that, you know, and it's kind of just like, yes, see, this is what he's been building for. This is the defense he's been putting together for the past few years. This is the offense that, you know, we finally got Ben Roethlisberger to see the field on. And you're right. Ben's the huge reason why they're doing this right now. They were 8-6 without him last year. And, Anthony, when I did those Ultimate Division crossovers with the Locked On Bengals, Ravens, and Browns hosts, they all told me the Steelers were in for third place in the division this year, that they were going to be, you know, 6 wins, 8 wins at best. And I'm like, what are you looking at when a professional duck caller got them to 8-6 last year, and now you get Ben Roethlisberger, a Hall of Fame, 2-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, rejoins the team. And I said the other thing was is that Ben's different right now, Anthony. He and not just on the field but off the field. You know, when I used to ask him questions when I first started covering the Steelers, he would kind of just be like, yeah, whatever. And he would mess with people. Like he in the locker room, there was one time it was like my first or second time in the Steelers locker room trying to figure out, okay, where am I going? Who am I talking to? And I was kind of just like looking around and I'm standing on the Steelers logo that's on the floor in the locker room. And Ben walks up to me and says, get off the logo. I'm like, and I jumped. I thought I was breaking a rule. And then, like, another one of the writers, like, that's what he does to new guys. You know, but Ben, he won't respond to everything, and he'll give you sarcastic answers. But he hasn't done that this year. He's been very responsive to every reporter that gives him a question. He's very thoughtful. You know, he's talked about his Christianity, his faith. He's talked about how he needs to do better as a leader. And we've seen that. He's more involved with the team. He's talking to even the youngest of players, whereas 2 years ago, James Washington said I was intimidated to talk to the man because I didn't think I could. And that's bled over into his leadership, into his efficiency, and to the team's success. And I think that's a huge reason why they're undefeated right now because – you know, like you said, with those receivers, you don't know all their names because he keeps hitting different ones every week. There's never one that he focuses on for too long a time because as soon as the team wants to take Chase Claypool away, he goes to Juju Smith-Schuster. You take Juju away, he goes to Deontay Johnson. You take him away, he goes to Eric Ebron. You take him away, he goes to James Washington. I mean, and I still could go to Ray-Ray McCloud, who you were talking about with number 14. So that's a big reason what they're going through right now.
Yeah, man. See, you just named all of those names. And see, I've heard all of those guys, but I can't remember them all because it's other than Claypool, because he's built like a super freak, right?
Yes.
The other guys are all kind of like interchangeable people, but I used to say Pittsburgh and Green Bay were identical with this. Like they never miss on wide receivers, but now Aaron Rodgers kind of like struggling to find anybody beyond Devontae Parker. But how have they managed to do this throughout their history? The Steelers, I think it was Hines Ward. Who else got a second contract and they still don't miss on receivers? Hines Ward was the only one that stayed. Everybody else, AB stayed for a while. Yep. But other than that, man, it's like, no, Plexico. Yeah, no. No second card. No. They keep – it's – I've never seen an organization hit on wide receivers. And I've always said this. I'm 51 years old. Y'all had three coaches in my life, and they've all won Super Bowl. That is unreal. That is unreal. Wide receivers and coaches. Head coaches and wide receivers. Pittsburgh, they don't miss.
They really don't. It's so crazy. And there's a couple misses here and there, but there's enough hits that make it not matter. Like, you know, people – because people complain Lima Sweet will be, you know, this generation's most hated wide receiver because he was a second-round pick in that 2008 Super Bowl season, and he did absolutely nothing. The biggest thing he's known for is a huge block he threw in an AFC championship game. But you look at what they've done and how they just they find the strengths of wide receivers, and then I think they do a great job maximizing them. Like you talk about Hines Ward. Hines Ward really established what it meant to be a Steelers receiver in the early 2000s. Because in the late 90s, after Yancey Thigpen left the team, there was a lull at the receiver position. You know, Charles Johnson was okay. When Hines Ward came along, he set a tone. And then Plaxico Burress, he came and he was a superstar, but it was like, hey, you know, you got to get on this level with me. And then Antoine Randall came, and then there was a culture in the wide receiver room. And then Santonio Holmes came. And like you said, they didn't give Santonio Holmes a second contract. They didn't give Plaxico Burress or Antoine Randall a second contract. Now, all of them just went. Hines Ward ran the receiver room. They went and got Mike Wallace. They went and got Emmanuel Sanders. All of them also ended up going, and they stuck with Antonio Brown because he was a superstar. And, you know, time and time, and even throughout that time, Martavis Bryant was looking like a star. They you know, he was smoking too much weed and not paying enough attention. They sent him gone. You know, and now you got Juju, a situation where Antonio Brown had forced himself off the team, and you've got Juju Smith-Schuster, you've got Chase Claypool, who's a rookie, James Washington, Deontay Johnson. All those guys are second-round picks. Deontay Johnson's like two picks into the third round, but still basically a second-round pick. That's just the success of this organization. They know what they're looking for. They go get it, and it's worked. And yeah, it's remarkable. We in Pittsburgh don't even seem to understand it because it's just time and time again, they pick a guy. Like, there was a great tweet by a Ravens fan that was just like, I can't stand how the Steelers always find a receiver. We can get a first overall pick in a draft and get the best wide receiver, and they'll pick a guy named Boo Boo Blanket from junior college, and he'll be a 2,000-yard receiver by his second year. That's
no
just,
doubt.
But it's what the Steelers have done. And with head coaches, the Rooneys have had a system. They've trusted what their gut, what they've gone with. There's people, and again, Cower, when he was struggling in the late 90s, early 2000s,
right,
he had three losing seasons. People were like, why is he still here? Get him out of here. The Rooney stuck by him. He won his Super Bowl, retired. They brought Tomlin in. He won a Super Bowl early, and then people still wanted him gone. And they're like, are you crazy? Get rid of that guy? No. And I think that's the biggest thing. They don't listen to the peanut gallery. They have their own systems. They trust what works, and they follow through, and that's what's led to their success throughout history.
I love that middle linebacker. I don't even know his name. I just know his grandfather won the Heisman Trophy.
Oh, Robert Spillane. Yes.
Tell us more about him. And it seems like every single time they mention him on TV, he does something and he makes a play.
The thing is with Robert Spillane is that you guys are actually lucky as Jaguars because the Titans had him. They could have had him on their roster. He was on their practice squad. He was playing for them in the preseason 2 years ago, and they let him go, and the Steelers grabbed him and like, oh, we'll take that. Thank you. And Steelers fans loved him in the preseason last year, but with Devin Bush and Vince Williams and the guys they had, he wasn't able to really, you know, stick around. This year the Steelers are like, oh, no, he's going to be part of this roster. When Devin Bush went down, he believed in the next man up mentality. And I think the biggest thing here, Anthony, is that because a lot of people, when Devin Bush went down, they went right to, oh no, Ryan Shazier all over again. Right. But this defense is a lot better than that defense. The secondary has Terrell Edmonds playing at a high level, Minkah Fitzpatrick playing at an all pro level.
All world, yeah.
Even Nelson and Mike Hilton and Cameron Sutton, all these moving pieces that are playing very well and allowing the defense to cover up all these different holes. When Shazier was there, he was the pillar. He was the Polamalu. He was what everything was built off of. Devin Bush, even when he was there, was not that. He was more so, hey, we know you're an athletic inside linebacker. Here's your assignment. Just get that done and play the cog in the machine. So when Robert Spillane comes in, it's the same thing. Hey, man, you're a cog in the machine. You're not the machine itself. Just make the play. And that's allowed him to isolate on every single game. Like, okay, this given play, I'm taking away the running back. This given play, I'm filling this hole. Now, I will say, Spillane is not the best at engaging blockers in the hole. That's where he has to improve the most. So if you get a lineman, if you get a guard to get to the second level and get on him, that's when he's going to be not as good. But with the defensive front the Steelers have, Cameron Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Tyson Alualu, the three of them and Watton Dupree, they are clogging up so much linemen, it's allowing Vince Williams and Robert Spillane to figure out run plays and say, okay, that's where I got to go, and keeping them clean to let them use their eyes and their instincts to fill a hole. And the thing is, when Spillane fills the hole, he fills the hole. I mean, Derrick Henry found that out about a month ago.
Yes, sir.
And he helps against the pass. He, you know, people talk about his pick six against Lamar Jackson, but I thought his more impressive play was he had to cover J.K. Dobbins on an in and out route on a third down, where J.K. Dobbins, a much more explosive player than Robert Spillane, he runs in, does a really nice cut, cuts back to the outside. Spillane just never even bit. He was like, I'm going to take away the inside. Okay, but now you're breaking this way, and he swatted away the ball. He hasn't been a liability. And people have gone after. They're targeting him, but they're not getting big yards. And I think that's a huge testament to what he's done for this team.
Last question for you. Do you buy into the theory that you need to go ahead and lose so you know what a loss feels like? I don't buy into that. Everybody's, if you're going to get a loss, go ahead and get a loss and know what it feels like, because you don't want it to come in the playoffs. I don't buy that. If you're going to win, just take everything as a one game season.
Honestly, no, I don't think that makes sense. It's different when you got a young team, when you got a team that's been newly formed and they don't know what it's like to be there. Like, you know, I think the Jaguars were like that in 2017, where not that they needed to lose, but they didn't know what it meant, what it took to win consistently. You know, and I think the Steelers in the early 2000s went through that. You know, Joey Porter talked about, we had to learn what it meant to need to have to pull out a win. And, you know, and he said those losses to the Patriots in 2001 and 2004, it taught them lessons that made the 2005 season happen, where they went on to beat the Seahawks. And that built the nucleus that won in 2008. This nucleus right now, they were just 8-8 last year. They know what it's like to lose. They know what it takes to win. You know, when you talk about maybe the new guys like Chase Claypool and Eric Ebron and, you know, Anthony Highsmith, maybe they need to learn. But the thing is that, you know, they've bought into this culture that the entire organization is pushing right now. Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, everyone talked about how the Steelers were the Kim Kardashians with Antonio Brown. Juju Smith-Schuster, every week, whether he scores or somebody else who scores, he's running up, he's dancing with his teammates, they're celebrating, they're feeling each other, and there's no who's got the limelight. Everybody enjoys it together. The defense is the same way. You know, if anyone gets a chance to ever look back at some of the press availability videos that go up on the internet, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick will be doing a press availability, and then here comes T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree, and they're hijacking his video, and they're like going in there and saying, like, yeah, "Hey, we're his agents now. What questions you got?" And you know, jokes like that keep happening. This organization has a culture within it where they know what it takes week in and week out, and you see that because in these games, there's plenty of games where you could say there was the lesser team in the game, like the Cowboys or the Texans or the Broncos, and it got close. But when push came to shove, the defense or the offense found answers they needed to pull out those games. And that doesn't mean that they didn't know the answers if they don't get them, but they know that, hey, this is a – I think this team definitely understands it's a razor-thin line between winning and losing. And whereas some people talk about it as if you stink if you lose and you're great if you win, so a lot of times you're right on that line where, like, hey, we did a lot of things that we needed to do to win, but these things happened and it stopped, and that was what led to us losing. I think they understand how delicate that balance is and that they're not taking this for granted right now. And they're talking like it. Mike Tomlin this week, he said, we're not, you know, like, we have a perfect record, but we are not perfect because we're not running the ball well. We're not doing this well. We're not doing that well. Meanwhile, they have a top five offense and a top five defense in the league right now. What complaints do you have if you're a Steelers fan? Trust me, there's plenty. You get them all the time. But yes, there is a sense that I believe that there's no need for them to lose a game. Now, as a fan, fans are like, man, just take the pressure off me because I just don't want that in my life. But as a team, I really think that Mike Tomlin has this group locked in and saying, we need to win this week right now, and we'll worry about whatever comes next after the fact. So I don't believe in it, but I understand some fans who do. And will that weigh on them in the playoffs if they go 16-0? Absolutely. There's going to be times you think about, like, man, we're undefeated, and that's a lot of pressure. But I think this team lives off of pressure. We've seen that with the Cowboys game came down to the last throw. The Ravens game came down to the last throw. The Titans game came down to a final drive where a missed field goal. So many games have come down to that. I think this team is used to living on the edge, and that's what makes them so fun to watch.
Yep, I think it's gonna be fun. I don't think it's gonna come down to the edge this week. I do believe that Pittsburgh's gonna win, and I'm not pissing Jaguar fans off when I say that, because they don't
want
to.
They don't want Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, they don't want to win the game, but Pittsburgh's gonna win. I think it'll be fun for a half, and then I think the Big Ben will take over. And so that's my prediction. I think a half of football will be fun, and then probably midway through the third quarter, you'll see the Pittsburgh Steelers start to dominate.
I think I agree with that assessment. I think you're gonna see Jake Luton might make some plays, DJ Chark might make some plays. James Robinson might make some plays. I also think it'll be interesting to see Miles Jack and Joe Schobert. But ultimately, when you have so many strengths that the Steelers have, you take away, like I said, you take away one receiver, they got three others to go to. And then the defense, they stop the run well, they rush the passer well, they cover well. Like, there's, you can win in certain facets at certain times, but you can't win in all facets all the time against this team. I agree. By mid-third quarter, I think the Steelers will have started to take control of this game. And then by the fourth quarter, everyone's going to be like, okay, what other games that we need to look at that are coming down to the wire.
Yep, I agree with you, man. As always, it's been fun, Counselor, man. I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thanks, Anthony. Thanks much for doing this. And hey, Locked On Jaguars fans and Locked On Steelers fans, let's help each other out. We're both fans of each other's show. If you're a Locked On Steelers fans, go to Locked On Jaguars on Apple Podcasts. He's Anthony Wiggins. Give him a 5-star review. Give him a positive comment. Show him some love. Doing that really helps out his show. And hey, Locked On Jaguars fans,
do the same.
I love y'all, baby. We don't hate. There's no hate here. It's all love. So, we can do that. We can help each other's shows out and help grow this Locked On podcast community that I think is so great.
Also, I got to mention this. You break tape as good as anybody. I mean, because guys love guys like Baldinger that break tape. There's guys around the league that really give you a lot of credit for breaking tape. And I watch the way you really slap that stuff out too. So you guys are interested in guys that really, really love breaking down tape and breaking down plays. Chris is absolutely the best. So I'm at Shop Talking Wig on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, Chris?
I'm at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I will follow you back. And don't be afraid to at me, DM me, whatever. I do get back to people. So if I don't get back to right away, it's just because we're real busy. But yeah, do follow us both. It's a great time on the social medias.
Yeah, and I'm still mad at you for tweeting all of that Pittsburgh stuff beating up my nose. So
hey, I was just a reporter, man. I was just there for. Also, tell whoever runs Florida State to make sure that the credential pickup spot for that game is not a half mile away from the stadium.
All right, man.
I was sweating in Florida that day.
All right, man. I gotta get you on my boy, Big Game James. Big Game James played over there, and he's a Florida State alumni. He's a fullback. I gotta get you on it, man, because you guys will get along real well. So,
oh, man.
I'll make that happen.
All right. Thank you, Anthony.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Right there, Locked On Steelers fans. Don't go anywhere. I still got to give my shout out. As always, remember, if you give a 5-star review and a positive comment on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that on Spotify, wherever you can, leave us a 5-star review. If I find it, I'm going to give you a shout out. And we got a new one from Apple Podcasts. So I'm giving a shout out to Cheetos Jesus. I got to give you, that's a funny name. But Cheetos Jesus gives a 5-star review and says, lighting it up and 9-0. Love the podcast. I'm a daily listener. We are 9-0 and we have ridden at dawn. We are on a tear. Love the enthusiasm, the knowledge, the breakdown, and the guests. You all do a great job. Keep up the good work. Cheetos Jesus, thanks so much for giving us the 5-star review and the positive comment. We salute you for that. And remember, if you want to get your shout out, please leave us a 5-star review. Apple Podcasts is usually where I find it. I'm learning how to find it on different platforms. Sorry if I've missed other ones in the past, but any 5-star review really helps out the show. 4-star or worse does not help out the show. So please leave a 5-star review on us, and it really does help us out. We're going to be back tomorrow with Jenna Harner breaking down all the games for you going into the weekend, and of course previewing Steelers at Jaguars. See you then.